We do give all the saints to you. Each one of us needs your mercy. Amen. We should not look down at Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem is the dwelling place that God wants. Besides, this temple has to do with the priests. Now, if the priests do not offer up the sacrifices in the temple, where would they be offering them up? That is why, because Peter had a revelation from God, he put the Holy Spirit and the spiritual house together. That is why, in order to be built up into a spiritual house, at the same time, there needs to be a holy priesthood. Because the Bible puts the kingdom and the priesthood together. You do have to remember, in this passage, Peter is referring to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. So in order to understand the word of the Lord, we have to go back to the scriptures. Practically all the apostles are citing the word from the scriptures. They did not just get the word from the air or somewhere. We begin with verse 5. We begin with verse 5. This is what Jehovah said. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above my people. It's a special treasure. If you read 1 Peter chapter 2, if you read 1 Peter chapter 2, it is quoting this verse. Because the whole earth is mine, thank the Lord. Of course, He created it, so everything belongs to Him. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. God's children and God's people, they're all priests. This was God's original plan. There is no clergy laity system. One part of the people are the clergy, the priests, and the others are the lay people. There was no such distinction. but it's only after they fell and they worshipped idols and they put up the golden calf. But we have to honor God's covenant and listen to His word. That's why it says here, they shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The holy nation here is not just referring to the people, but a nation, a kingdom, a country. Oh, in Chinese, they're talking about people, but actually it's referring to the nation, God's kingdom. It's very strange that we Christians do not have such a concept. Now we go to read Revelation chapter 1. Verses 5 and 6. Let's read it together. Start with Chinese. Starting with, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Oftentimes we emphasize the second part of verse 5, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His blood, own blood. We love this part. We all pay attention to this. He saved us. He shed His blood to cleanse us, and we're very happy. But do you pay attention to the second portion? What does it say? So that you can become Christians? And has made us what? Actually, there can be two translations here. Firstly, and has made us a kingdom. But here, it can also be translated to say that made us kings. Because this is what Christians would do in the future, that we will reign over the nations together with Christ, the kings. This is what God tells us in the Bible. He wants us to be co-kings with Christ, to rule over the nations. And also to be priests to His God and Father. It could also be said as a priesthood. It correlates with Exodus chapter 19. That's why in the end of Revelation it says that we will reign. But today is not a time for us to be reigning. To be kings, it's a thing in the future. Please do not try to be a king today. That's not good. But today, we are a holy priesthood. We are holy priests. Let's read the scriptures, because the word in the Bible should help us. Revelation chapter 22. We are God's servants. So, a second half of verse 3. And his servants shall serve him. Now, this word serve refers to serving him as priests. It's not just like a servant serving you in your house. But it is to serve him as priests. That's why they shall see his face. They need to be living before the Lord, before God. And his name shall be on their foreheads. But we need to not to talk about this anymore. But at the end of verse 5, it says, and they shall reign forever and ever. Not now. Do not want to be a king right now. Your country will lock you up. Today is not our turn to be king. But today is a time for us to be priests. Each one of us is a priest. It's unfortunate that you do not have such a feeling. And in your heart, you don't even have such a thought. You just say, I'm a Christian. I am a believer. I believe in the Lord. I'm saved. Have you believed? Yes. Are you a Christian? A Christian. What kind of a job do you do? What is your profession? Oh, you're in business. You're a teacher. You're a nurse. What are you? You have to tell people. I think all of us who are seated here, none of us have ever told people when asked, what do you do? You say, I'm a priest. Because this concept is not within you. I'm a priest of the living God. I think if you were to say it in this way, you would be you'd be shy. Because people will think that you're kind of strange. What are you doing? Oh, I'm a priest. Oh, are you a priest? Then you would have a good opportunity to share with them that, oh, we are all priests of this living God. Then I would ask you, what do you do as a priest? preach a sermon, go preach a gospel, be a pastor. So what do you do as a priest? I don't think you can say anything. Can't say anything. Because you do not know what you're a priest for. In the Bible, the most glorious duty of a priest is to offer up sacrifices, offerings to the Father. Otherwise, what do you do as a priest? You're just sweeping the floor or guarding the door? What do you do? The main thing is to satisfy the Father's heart's desire, to prepare food for God. You have to know very clearly how to prepare all the offerings. And offer them up for worship to our Father. That is why Peter had such a concept. So he said it like this. We are living stones. Peter said it like this because he really had the experience, because God, the Lord changed his name from Simon to Peter. The Lord changed his name to a living stone, Peter, a stone. What is a stone for? To hit people? No. It's for the building. Even our Lord Jesus is a living stone. It's very strange. The Lord only shows us that this building is living. It's not dead. The Lord Jesus himself is a stone. Since such is the case, then we also should be stones. We're not dead. We're living. Now, where does this life, this livingness come from? It comes from the Spirit. Because the Spirit is He that gives life, and He causes men to reconcile. The Lord within us is our life. It's a living stone. It's only then that we can become a spiritual house. Just like me. Building is in the Spirit. To the Spirit. But build us up into a spiritual house.
Comma.
It's not a period. It's a comma. That means there's some more follows. Do not just stop there. Because a temple without the priests, what are you going to do there? So the temple cannot be separated from the priests, the offerings. So there needs to be the priesthood. This is very important. But it has to be a holy priesthood. Because the most important thing about a priest is that he has to be holy. It's unfortunate. I've been in the church for many years. I have not heard the brothers help the saints to be holy, to be sanctified. we have much knowledge, but we are not holy. We don't have much, we're not much different in our workplace as the world. We're living in our flesh and nobody is seeking sanctification. The Lord said, you have to be holy. Because God said, I am holy. And Hebrews 12 tells us, without holiness, no one can see God. Think about it. How come you and I cannot see God? Have you seen him? You believe in him, but have you seen him? Oh, you would tell people, oh, the Bible says that no one has ever seen God. It sounds reasonable. But how come does it says in the book of Hebrews, you have to pursue holiness? Then you can see God. Otherwise, you cannot see God. Holiness. The Lord Jesus also said, blessed are the pure in heart. In Matthew chapter 5. Why are they blessed? What kind of a blessing? What is the blessing for the pure in heart? They may see God. That is why the question lies, the problem lies with us. We are not pure in heart. We're complicated. If you're so complicated in your heart and in your mind, how can you see God? Now, if the priests cannot see God, how are you going to worship God and serve God? Because only priests can enter in to see God. So, brothers and sisters, a holy priesthood. We should be this holy priesthood. Whatever we do, we need to practice, exercise in a good way. Lord, I want to partake of your nature. Man thinks that if we have this nature, then we can become God. Man cannot even become holy. How can we become God? We want to be like him. He's a holy God. It doesn't work if we're not holy. Our hands are dirty. And I want to go touch spiritual things. And in, by doing so, whatever we our hands have touched, things become filthy. Something unholy things touching something holy will make that thing unholy. If we have the opportunity, we'll share about this later on. But today we need to know it's important to be a holy priest. And then Peter said, what are the priests doing? They have to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We come to point number 3, Roman numeral 3. So you see, brothers and sisters, It's not so simple to worship. The place has to be right. The temple has to be right. You cannot just run around. Do nothing that any old place would do. Of course, you shouldn't be building your own either. Now today, everyone can build at will. Now, secondly, we also need to be a holy priest. Priests, the priests cannot be separated from the temple of God. And third, what do we need? We need the offerings, the spiritual sacrifices. In order to understand these offerings, you must go back to the book of Leviticus. Because the Bible talks about these offerings in detail, and it's very clear. People do not like to read Leviticus, right? Do you like to read Leviticus? No. Nobody likes to read Leviticus. How about you? Do you like it? No. Oh dear, so what should we do? But if you do not read Leviticus, how do you know what kind of offerings you're going to offer up? If you would just bring any old animal, maybe you bring a pig to offer up to God. Oh, that's a big no-no. And the main thing is that you have to bring a bullock, but then you bring a camel. Don't think that God would accept it. That's why you need to understand what is a burnt offering. But if you understand it, if you don't know it, then what? What animal does God want? He wants a turtle dove. He wants a dove. Because in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is not like a cock that goes kuk, kuk, kuk. Or a chicken. The Bible uses the dove. And is it okay if you brought a chicken? It sounds like a joke. But that's how loose we are. We actually don't even have the concept that we have to bring something. We do not have the concept. So if you want to know how to bring our offerings, we have to go read Leviticus, especially chapters 1 to 7. How come when Leviticus was mentioned, God mentioned the offerings right away? Because these offerings are for worshipping God. They're the most important. They are the very important. The offerings are for God. This is the first point that as priests we need to know. So the most important point is brought out first. Now, if you do not go read it, let's look at the outline here. It's made to help the saints here. The first thing is a burnt offering. The burnt offering refers to the life of our Lord Jesus when he came to this earth. A life that is fully pleasing to the Father. His whole life. He lived for God's will. We can read all the verses by ourselves. He came to obey the Father's will. In John chapter 4, he said, my food is to do the will of the Father. And to accomplish his will. How about us? We start off well, and halfway we stop. We don't stop, we change. Today we live for God. Tomorrow we live for the world. We change back and forth. What does it say in the book of Galatians? We begin in the spirit and we end in the flesh. Isn't that changing all the time? You start off well and in the end, no good. The beginning is quite good. But God looks at the end product, not at the beginning. It's just like in a race. It's a long race. In the beginning, you start run fast. But halfway, but our Lord is not like that. From the beginning to the end, he does not change. He is fully and faithful to God's will. He overcame all temptations. Satan tempted him, but there's no way. For you and me, once the temptation comes, we fall. If you're given a position, then you thank the Lord. How about setting you as an elder? Is it good? Then you don't want to serve anymore? You don't want to serve unless you become an elder. Without being an elder, you don't serve. Is that how it is? It's only if you have the position, then you go do the work. Without that position, you do not do anything. Is that how it is? When man praises you, you're happy. When man do not praise you, then you draw a long face. I do so much and nobody appreciates it. Oh dear. If we serve in this way, what are we going to do? Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came to this earth, did a lot of people appreciate him? Did they admire him? Did they like him? What position did he have? He had the position of a servant. Psalm 22, he says, I am not a man, but a worm. I am but a worm. Are you a man or are you a worm? I think a worm is even lower than an animal. the Lord Jesus said, I'm not a man. I'm a worm. So if you scold a worm, he's just a worm. It doesn't matter what you say to him. But if you consider yourself as way up high, no one can criticize you. And if they say something to criticize you, then you get very angry and fire comes out of your eyes. Did the Lord Jesus ever get angry? Because when he came fully for the Father's will. As long as the Father is happy. As long as what you do pleases the Father, that's good enough. If you add something for yourself, then trouble comes. Trouble will come. That's why we need to know this Christ as our burnt offering. Do not think that it's easy to live Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Everyone wants to be Paul. Paul said, no, it's not I, but Christ. That's how he was pursuing Christ. He wanted to know the sufferings of Christ. He can suffer. Do you think that when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, he thought that everybody would welcome him? A long time ago in the book of Isaiah, it said that he will suffer. He came to suffer. We all know that there's a triune God, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Which one do you want to be? Would you rather be the Father or the Son? Which one would you rather be?
Oh,
I would say, oh, since we're equal, you're God and I'm God too. Why do I have to be the Son? And you're the Father. Let's switch around. I'll be the Father and you be the Son. How about that? This is how we fallen men are. We cannot suffer. So we are disobedient, especially we're not obedient to God. That's why when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, because he was a burnt offering, the Bible says that he was perfected through his sufferings. And he became the captain of our salvation. He was obedient unto the cross. He's such a Christ. We want to live Christ, enjoy Christ, experience him. Then I have to ask you, what do you experience? The most important thing that we need to experience, to learn, and to enjoy, what is it? Oh Lord, I have a problem. Come help me. I'm sick. Come heal me. I don't have a job. Oh Lord, I want to experience you. Find me a good job. I want to get married. I can't find me a wife. Oh Lord, prepare a good sister for me. Oh, this is experiencing Christ. That's experiencing Christ. Oh Lord Jesus. It's all for myself. It's not for him. The Lord Jesus was not for himself at all. When he was on this earth, he rejected all glory. He came to obey the Father. So, for us to experience and experience our Lord, the first thing we need to know is what is in Leviticus. It's a burnt offering. Besides, to offer up this burnt offering, it's not that you just whatever God gave to you, you return the original package to God. If you give me a present at my birthday, I do not open it, and the next time at your birthday, I'll return that gift to you. How would you feel about it? Do not think I do not have a basis on the Bible. In Matthew, the parable of the one who had one talent, he buried it in the earth, and then when the Lord Jesus came back, he dug it out and gave it back to him. Then the Lord said, "Oh, you're so faithful." What did the Lord say? "You evil and lazy servant. You don't go work. Christ lives in you and you just return the original package of Christ back to God. The Father will not be happy. Much less should you be preaching a message to the Father. That is not an offering. God doesn't want that. It sounds like a joke. But if you want to laugh, you need to laugh at yourself. I am the person that's so laughable for so many years. That's how it's been. So what should we do? So you need to have the real experience of the Lord. Have him as experience him as a burnt offering. Then you have something to offer. And that the one with the 5 talents, he said, "Lord, I made another 5. The Lord said, "Good and faithful servant." And the one with the 2 talents gained another 2. And please, do not return the original package. To the Father. That's not good. You have to experience Christ as our burnt offering. And living a life that is absolutely one with the Father. Being obedient even unto the death on the cross. And then being exalted by God. Because God was very satisfied with him. So that is why God could declare, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Because all his living and all his deeds, the deeds of the Lord Jesus, was to satisfy the Father. And let's have some prayer.